Well, without further ado, we've been waiting a long time for this Sunday. Crossroads, will you please join me in welcoming the Crawford family?
Why don't you come on up? Steve and Anna, why don't you come on up? Kids, hang tight. We'll have you up here in a second. You can come. Either way. Whatever works best. It's good. Love that. Bring them. Hey, you guys. Hi. What's up? Hey, fresh off a road trip, huh?
Yeah.
When did you guys get here? Wow.
2 days ago.
Fresh.
Yes.
How you guys feeling?
How you feeling?
I was expecting them to say good and you guys to say tired. It's awesome. It's good. Let's do this. Let's start with the kiddos. You guys have been patient and we will reward you greatly in this moment. Let's do this. Let's just go down the line and let's say hello. So can you give me your name and your age? And yeah, and I've got a question for each of you guys. Maybe if you could pass mics to these guys, that would be super helpful. We got to go in age order here. Yeah. Elijah, tell us about yourself. Elijah, how old are you?
I'm 11.
11. Awesome. What grade are you in?
I'm in fifth grade.
Love it. Fifth grade.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
It's a stumper. Okay. So be ready. What is your favorite sports team?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, boy. You just split the room. And you lost me because I'm a Niners fan. Oh, man. We can be friends, though. I guarantee you'll be good friends. Love it. Kansas City Chiefs fan. All right, Elijah. Thank you. Why don't you pass the mic to your sister there? Abby, talk about it. Abby, how old are you? What grade are you in?
I'm 9 and I'm in fourth grade.
Love it. Love it. Here's my question for you. What is your favorite character from, I could go movie here, but let's go book.
Anne of Green Gables.
Wow.
She didn't even think about it. Just, she was ready for that.
Joey, your commentary on Anne of the Green Gables?
You know what? I'm ashamed to say I have not read the series.
It's a classic. It needs to be in the bookstore.
It's the best book ever.
Okay, I take that. I receive
second
that.
Second to the Bible, of course.
I love that. Woo! Wow. Strong.
Okay.
I love that. That is so good. That is so good. Joe, let's hear from you next. Joe, what? How old are you? What grade are you in?
I am 7 and I'm in first grade.
Yes, you are. Love that, man. Welcome. Welcome to Los Angeles. Let's talk about it. What is your favorite thing to do for fun? So we're not talking about homework here, okay? I'm not talking about chores. What's your favorite thing to do for fun?
Lego.
There's a lot of things you could choose, I know, right here.
Legos.
Legos! Hey! Love that.
Hey.
Love that. Good job, Joe. I love Legos, too. Still do. Caleb, hi.
Hi.
Hey, man. Wow, your voice is really loud. I have a question for you. How old are you?
4.
Yes. And Caleb, who is your favorite parent? I'm just kidding. Who's your favorite superhero?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man! Yeah. Hey! That's right. Hey, guess what? I almost thought you were Spider-Man because you're wearing red.
Yep.
Do you like to be Spider-Man sometimes? Yeah. He said, Okay, that was an amen. That's good. All right. Benji's grabbing at the mic. I like this. What's your name? Benji, what's up, man? How old are you?
I'm three.
Yeah, you are. Awesome, man. Good to meet you. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite TV show?
Batman.
Batman. Okay, I like that. A little bit of Spider-Man, a little bit of Batman. Like it. This is good. It is so awesome to meet all you guys. So good. This is a selfish reason. I help with children's ministry, and you guys will all be with us at some point on Sundays and in our programs. So we are super excited to have you, not just in Crossroads, but at our church, guys. So thanks for making the big trip out here. Some of you guys, to varying degrees, understand now this is home. So welcome, and we're super glad to have you guys here. I have a little bit of a homecoming gift for the kids. This was parent approved, and I might get in trouble, but you know, it's parent approved. So I have for you guys, whenever you get to your new house, to Nerf gun each other. Yeah. So I have Nerf guns for each one of you guys. Okay. And so this fifth one is for Dad until Benji gets to age where he can use it. So and maybe even then they can get the siblings together.
What do you guys say?
Yes, you're so welcome. Guys, thank you so much. You guys can, let's give them a round of applause.
Go to Grandpa. Go to Grandpa.
Yes. The most well-behaved kids at Grace Church already.
So we're going to do something a little, to start with a bang. We're going to start with a little lightning round.
Yeah, let's do a lightning round.
So this is actually... These are not questions we sent you.
Yeah, they were like, hey, can you send us the questions so we can prepare? We were like, yes, all of them except for the most fun ones. So
they're safe.
Anna, buckle up. Okay. They're easy. Okay. So lightning, I always like to give a caveat. It means fast and it means short. That's for me. But okay? Ready? All right. So give us the favorite part of your road trip.
In-N-Out and Flagstaff.
In-N-Out.
Okay. Yes, we finally got
Amen.
The In-N-Out.
Amen. Yeah. Promised land.
Swimming with the kids.
Oh, that too.
Swimming with the kids?
Yes.
I like it.
Where was that? Where'd you guys go?
In-N-Out with the kids, right?
Yeah. In-N-Out with the kids, yeah. Yes.
Love that. Second thing, favorite season of the year. Oh, welcome to Los Angeles.
Yeah. Where you've heard of seasons, right? No. Fall.
We read about them, yeah.
Yeah. Fall. Fall in Kansas is nice. Yeah.
Same fall.
Fall in Kansas. You won't get that here. What's an L.A. thing that... You guys have been here before, but what's an L.A. thing that you want to do now that you're here?
Hollywood Bowl.
Okay, good. Good call.
Also same. I've never been.
Like that. You guys must be married or something. Yeah. It's good. What is your Costco food court order?
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Two hot dogs.
And is soda going to you or soda going to the kids? That's the big question.
Soda going to me.
Both sodas for Steve. That's good. What is your, speaking of Costco, speaking of hot dogs then, what is your favorite condiment?
Ooh, mustard.
Relish.
Mustard and relish. What is your least favorite condiment?
Relish. Gross.
Mayo.
Okay. Here's one I always ask. Left lane or right lane on the freeway?
Right lane. I mean, no. The fast one. Left lane. Left we don't have lanes in Kansas. There's just one way going one way.
Yeah, welcome back to Los Angeles.
Fast one.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fast here, though, just so you, if you remember.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the fast.
Supposed to be.
I hang out in the right lane.
Keeping it safe. Keeping it safe. It's good. What would you consider the best year of your life? Like, what age were you?
Man, every year's great, but I would say the year we got married. Yeah, 2010.
Love it.
That was awesome.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, also same.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Love that. And then just the last few. What's your favorite hymn or worship song?
I need to say this one first, because otherwise I'll just say same again. Be Thou My Vision. It's my favorite hymn.
Love it.
Yeah, I'd say He Leadeth Me. Mm. Yeah, He Leadeth Me.
Love that. And then last one, what's your favorite Bible verse?
Man. Psalm 86:5, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. It's my favorite.
Amen.
There's many in different seasons, but I have really loved Philippians 1:21 a lot too. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, we're going to ask for some longer answers this time. Cool. And you guys should be prepared for this.
Yeah.
So let's just hear maybe quick testimonies from both of you.
Do you want to go first?
I grew up in a Christian home, which I was really thankful for. So from a really early age, my parents were just really faithful in just teaching me and my siblings about the Lord and his word. And I affirmed everything that I was taught. And I was also a people pleaser by nature, so I really sought to be obedient too.
And where did you grow up?
I lived in Memphis until I was 7, and then we moved out to the Pacific Northwest. So I grew up in Vancouver, Washington. But I just assumed that I was a believer for a long time because, again, like I affirmed what I was taught, and then it seemed like my life matched up. But around the time I was, just before I was 12, I had a growing kind of concern, I guess, with where my heart was at. It really bothered me when my parents would pray and when they would talk about the Lord because Jesus was someone that they evidently knew. And that was hard for me because Jesus was someone I knew about. And I didn't know what I was lacking. Why did they have a personal knowledge of him that I seemed to not have? And so I just grabbed my Bible one night and I said into myself, like, I'm just going to read until I feel like the Lord and I have connected somehow. And I came across Matthew 7 when Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know, it goes on to say, you know, people in that day say, but Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We perform miracles in your name. And then he said to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. And just when I read those words, I never knew you, that was such a gut punch to me because I felt like that was reflective of how I felt about the Lord, that I didn't know him. And so I tried to play it off all cool and ask my dad, like, so what do these verses mean? And he just helped me see, like, these people, even though they had affirmed so much truth about Christ, they had never actually submitted to him as Lord in their own heart. And God in his kindness just helped me see that I was that person, that I was very confident in my own obedience, so self-righteous on one hand, but also that even though I had paid lip service to the Lord, I had never come to the end of myself. The Lord just brought me to himself then, and it's been sweet to grow in the knowledge of the Lord since. So
mine's actually really similar. It was around the same time, even though we didn't know each other. I grew up here at Grace Community and benefited from every... I mean, I know Graham Miller and I were in Master's Kids. There's Graham. We were in Master's Kids together. So just grew up here and benefited from...
Second best year of your life.
Second best year of my life with Graham. His mom used to do like a puppet show with a panda puppet. Anyway. But no, I knew a lot of head knowledge, and I loved Sunday school here, and we did Awanas here, and I went to a Christian school in Santa Clarita, and I knew a ton of truth. I would ask my dad theological questions, and I liked having head knowledge, but it was when I was in junior high, I was consistently seeing, as Anna said, a disconnect between my own, what I knew and how I lived. Saw a lot of pride, hypocrisy, sin, selfishness. It was December 31st, 1999. We were at Costco, and we were seeing a lot of people load up pallets of toilet paper and bottled water, and I was like, what is going on? Those of you who don't know, I think a lot of you were born after this, which makes me feel really old. But it was this thing called Y2K, and some people were freaking out that all the computers were going to go crazy, and then stoplights were going to go crazy, and air traffic control, and everything was going to blow up, and because you know, the changeover from 99 to 2000. And I didn't think anything of it until I saw people, you know, panicking, and talked to my dad about it. It's like, what are they doing? He explained what they were doing, and you know, the next morning I was laying in bed, and obviously the world did not end, but I was thinking, what would have happened if it had? And what would have happened if I had died? And I was convinced that I would have heard those same words from Matthew 7. Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. And it was that morning that I just, laying there in bed, I cried out to the Lord for mercy. I confessed that I'd been proud and hypocritical, a Pharisee, and it's obviously it's been a journey since then, but I do believe that that's when the Lord changed my heart. That fall, I got really plugged into youth group here at Grace Community. If you guys know Rodney Anderson, he was my high school small group leader. He taught me how to study the Bible, and it's been awesome ever since. So, yeah, I mean, there's obviously with everybody's Christian journey, there are ups and downs. There are, you know, I loved Nate's sermon this morning because I've had seasons of struggling with doubt and wrestling with, like, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That sermon was phenomenal. But the Lord has steadily grown us, grown me, and it's been wonderful. Yeah.
Amazing. Praise God for his grace in both of your lives. And even your testimonies, I think, are an encouragement to so many in this room because that's a lot of our testimonies too. Maybe not the same words, but conceptually and or growing up in and around the church, there can be a duality that only we know in our hearts that God exposes over time through his Spirit's work. So it's super encouraging to hear that. Thank you, guys. Let's skip to some good stuff. How did you guys meet?
Ooh.
when was that? How did that happen? Who remembers? Who doesn't remember? You know, all that good stuff.
Steve, how did you win Anna's heart?
Well, I'll let her answer that one. That was persistence. No. Yes, it was persistence. We met because my brother was really impressed with her. And he introduced me to her. He's like, I met this really cool girl at Masters. I was like, oh, okay. And we met. He introduced us at the luau at Masters. She was her first year at Masters. And I was serving with servant leadership staff. And then I went to IBEX like the next day. So she got plugged in this Bible study that I've been going to here in Crossroads. And yeah, you want to fill in some?
Yeah. Well, no, it was literally like, hi, I'm Steve. Hi, I'm Anna. And then he went on a slip and slide and off to IBEX.
Yes. It was, so, yeah.
Yeah.
If you were at Masters, you knew the luau with the slip and slide thing. Anyway. Yes.
But, yeah, it was fun, like, being able to get plugged into the Bible study that he had been part of. I was more familiar with who he was just because people would talk about him and kind of the role he was filling there. So then it was neat to get to know him better when he came back.
Yeah, came back from IBEX, and we were in the same Crossroads Bible study and saw each other at Masters, and time went by, and then we started dating December of 2008. Yeah, December of 2008. We dated all throughout 2009 and got engaged in 2010 and married in October of 2010. That's the short version.
That's sweet. Important question. Were you thinking about her on that IBEX trip?
I was not. No, I was not.
You had a great opportunity there, but yeah, you decided to tell the truth instead.
Yeah. No, I was more focused on IBEX, which was actually, that's a whole other story in and of itself. But when I got back and saw her in the context of both Masters and Bible study, I began thinking about her a whole lot more. So
yeah. That's sweet.
You just mentioned that you guys were a part of Crossroads.
Yeah.
And in the same Bible study.
Yeah.
Talk about life in Crossroads when you guys were Crossroaders.
Man, it was awesome. So I started Masters fall of 04. And Crossroads, I had grown up at Grace my whole life, but Crossroads was like this different thing. You know, you're in the children's ministry, and then you go to junior high, you go to high school, and you just know that there's a gym full of college students. And then when I finally got here, it was like, it was Grace Community, but it was all brand new. And it was really exciting and fun. It's the same vibe that you guys have now. Just a lot of people who are at the same stage of life who are excited about learning more about the Lord and loving the Lord. And I loved being under Rick Holland, who was my college pastor. He's just had a huge impact on me. And I tried out different Bible studies. I love all the Bible studies. And each one has its own personality and character, and it's great. And then I found the one where I really felt like I fit, and that was a Bible study. It's no longer around. It was called Generations. It's a great model. It met at a family's house in Northridge, and the design was to have older folks from Grace Community Church pour into college students. And one of them, is Dolores still here? Is Dolores? No, she had to go home. Dolores and Burton and Dolores Michelson were in the study. It was a huge impact on us, along with Sam and Emery Britton and some others. So college ministry on Sunday was just exciting. That's the best term I could use to describe it. And then our Bible study really felt like, I mean, super close friends, like family. But what would you say?
Yeah, well, it just meant a lot to me, not having any family in the area, and then being part of a new church, to be able to get plugged into a Bible study like that and to feel like kind of to be known and to like have a church that, you know, a larger church, to make it feel small was really special. And yeah, I just really appreciated the role that Bible study had in my life, and then just the ministry of Rick Holland, and really appreciated his preaching. So.
What did you each study in college? What was your major?
My major was political studies, constitutional law, because I thought I was going to be a lawyer. And then I disappointed my parents and went to seminary. So,
I studied biblical counseling.
That's awesome.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So, as you studied biblical counseling and obviously probably applying it in the context of local church as you guys served, looking back at your education, but also life in the church and practice and the experience, what are some main takeaways that you have, and maybe what are some joys that you have in doing that type of soul care?
I think it's just underscored for me the sufficiency of God's word. I remember one time in class, our professor threw out a scenario that I was so baffled by. I was like, what does the Bible say about this? And it was really neat to watch him just kind of, even though there were a lot of details in this issue, being able to see the underlying principles that the Bible really did speak to all of the things. And it's just been really neat that there is like no need of our heart that isn't somehow addressed in scripture and by the Lord himself. And so that's just been really cool for me to like grow in my own understanding. But then just to see like the sufficiency of the word just points to the sufficiency of our Savior. And that, yeah, every need we have is met in him. And yeah, it's been really neat to see that and to like hopefully keep growing in that knowledge.
That's incredible. Thank you. Steve, you mentioned disappointing your dad, not ending up a lawyer, judge.
Yeah. I call it the Martin Luther trek.
That's right.
Yeah.
Strong.
He's my hero in many
ways. Good lineage.
Yeah.
So what led to the tug towards ministry?
Yeah. So it was my freshman year at Masters, and I had a free elective. So I took a biblical counseling elective called Methods of Biblical Change. A guy named Stuart Scott was the prof, and he had us read a book called The Minister as Shepherd by Charles Jefferson. And I grew up at this church, and I love the pastors here. I could tell you pastors who had impact, like Rick, and then a guy named Eric Bancroft, and so many other pastors who really had a huge impact on me. But I didn't quite know what a pastor did. And I knew that they preached, and preaching is one of the highest joys of a pastor, and it's what this church does so well. But even though I grew up here, there was a lot of gaps in my understanding of what does a pastor do. And so reading that book, Minister as Shepherd by Charles Jefferson, for that class really showed me, like, this is what a full-orbed, faithful pastor does. He opens the word and preaches it, but he also is with the saints. He shows up. He cares for them. He prays for them. He knows them. He knows their struggles. He weeps with them. He rejoices with them. And as a freshman, I was saying, I think this is what I want to do. You know, when you get to college, you know, especially, I mean, I grew up in a very stable home. You know, some people may use the word sheltered, and that's okay. But I grew up in a home that, you know, both parents, Christian school, great church. And you get to college, you start getting exposed to people with other backgrounds. And you realize there's a lot of hurt and pain and suffering in the world. And I was really grappling with that, even as a freshman at Masters. You know, I had this great upbringing, but realizing there's a lot of hurting people. And then being convinced, as Anna said, that the Word of God has the sufficient answers for every spiritual question, for every spiritual need we have, for understanding evil, for understanding God's plan, for understanding the goodness of God, the hope that we can have in this life and the next. The Word of God has it. And so reading that book and realizing, like, this is the answer. I am absolutely convinced it's Christ, it's Christ's word, it's the gospel, and whatever happens, I want to be used by the Lord to be a conduit for that, whether that's, you know, be a guy with a 9-to-5 job who serves faithfully as a lay person in the church, which is awesome, or if the Lord should allow vocational ministry, that would be awesome as well. So that was my fresh spring of 2005. So that's when I first felt the tug. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about those years in seminary? I think for a room like this, it's easy to see seminarians go through our church and not quite understand how to understand those families or those men who come here to be trained, and then we send them off. We don't know all of them, but we know God's doing something.
Yeah.
Help us to understand just what are maybe some of the big things that you guys learned and maybe some of the things that God brought you through in those years.
Do you want to go first? Okay. So I have the unique privilege. I saw it on both sides. So growing up here, we got close to seminarians. I mean, even in the youth ministry in junior high and high school, so they were my small group leaders. And you get close with them, and then they leave, and it hurts. You know, you realize, like, man, I mean, sometimes you might even be tempted to think, what's the point of investing in those relationships? But then you realize, like, God's kingdom is bigger than just 13248 Roscoe Boulevard. God's kingdom is, I mean, as the Lord said to Paul, I have many people in this city. And I think that's true of everywhere all around the globe. And it's a real joy. I think I heard Jesse Johnson say one time that attending church at Grace Community is like being at church on a train platform, on a train station. People come, people go. You build relationships, and then you say goodbye. And so growing up, I had that perspective. Like, so many important people in my life would come and speak into my life for a season and then leave. But then when the Lord made it clear we were supposed to go to seminary, it started to get real exciting to think about, okay, one day we might go, you know. And this was home for me, but at the same time, realizing, like, we're not meant to stay comfortable, you know. We're meant to go wherever the Lord sends. And we did the slow track through seminary. The Lord was teaching me some lessons. I was working full-time at the master's college, and I loved TMU. But the Lord just made it real clear that we were supposed to look outside of California, and then he led us to Kansas. And it was real sweet, the people who invested in us while we were in seminary. When all of a sudden I was not just a Grace Church member, friends with seminarians, but we were a seminarian. We were living on Walnut Street and sharing furniture with other seminarians as they would come and go, and we would come and go, and passing down the same kids' clothes. And you see a kid wearing a, like, hey, my kid has that shirt. And she's like, we gave it to them a month ago, you know? So, you know, just stuff like that. It's been real sweet to see people invest in us, and to realize, like, it's good to invest in God's universal church. Don't hold back investing in seminarians. You are blessing some other congregation somewhere. And honestly, this life is short. And that's been brought home to us recently, just saying goodbye to all our friends in Kansas. It's like, it's going to be, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 more decades? And then we're going to be in eternity forever with them. So what would you say?
Just about our time in seminary.
Yeah, seminary.
Yeah. No, it was sweet. I think there was a lot the Lord had to teach me. I struggled sometimes with the busyness of it. And I felt like the Lord had to teach me a lot about, like, contentment. But then also in kind of viewing, like, what are little things that we can do at home to, like, free him up to be able to do what the Lord is calling him to do. I really appreciate Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I know his wife would, like, be really intentional about the way that she cut his sandwiches so that he could eat them easily while he studied. And just little things like that that was sweet to see, like, okay, Lord, what are things that we can do to be able to serve the church in little ways, if there's things that we can do to help with freeing him up to study or whatnot. But it was a real privilege and a joy. We really enjoyed. We look back on those years, they're very, very happy.
We made some great friends. The sad thing is they all go to places around the world, but then it's real sweet when you run into them again. Yeah.
So you were raised on the train platform that is Grace Church, blessing those who, and blessing and sending others off, but then you guys departed.
Yeah.
So talk about that story of departing to Kansas.
Oh, it's real. I mean, it's a sweet story. I think the longest time I wanted to stay here for a long time in seminary. This was my home. I love California. And then I realized that was, for me, that had started to creep into idolatry. And I realized that was an area of my life that was not totally surrendered to the Lord. And it was my last, I think, year and a half of seminary where that started getting chipped away. And I read this book, and it, I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, like what that book would have to do with this. But for Brad Clausen's ordination prep class, we read Princeton in Preaching, The Life of Archibald Alexander. And I don't remember specifically what it was in that book, but just seeing his, Archibald Alexander's complete devotion to do whatever the Lord had him to do, that really convicted me. Like, I need to let go of the idea of staying in California. And as soon as that happened, doors started opening. There was a church in Colorado that we started talking with, which got us thinking about doing youth ministry, which we had done youth ministry in the basement here with junior hires for a few years. In fact, Joe Ritter, if he's still here, was playing bass. He was one of my junior high. He was one of my junior high guys. But then ran into our former Bible study shepherd, a guy named Bart Horton, who's a TMS grad. And he said, hey, you interested in being a youth pastor in Kansas? And that's the short version. We wound up in Kansas in the summer of 2017. And it was, I mean, the Lord just, it would take a long time to describe. So the short version is he just opened doors that we could not open. He provided conversations and counsel. I mean, even thinking about a conversation I had with Dr. Irv Busnitz one Sunday morning that kind of tipped the scales, because I wasn't even thinking about giving the Kansas church a second thought. And then Irv just said, you need to go. You need to go and visit. And it was huge. Yeah.
Yeah. How was that for you, Anna, when you first heard that that call? Were you excited? Were you nervous about going?
Yeah, so I kind of thought that we were on the Colorado trajectory. So when Kansas came up, I was like, seriously? But once we got there, it was like, yeah, just so wonderful. And yeah, we were really, really excited about being there and yeah, excited about the church there. So yeah,
we weren't really that excited about tornadoes. but thankfully, we didn't have any tornadoes. So.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I still remember, and Joey, you do too, I'm sure, when you guys were here and then when you guys left. I still remember those days. I remember serving you guys coffee all the time at Steeple. I'm trying to remember your orders. You drank drip coffee. You drank a mocha, I think, Anna.
Vanilla latte.
Vanilla latte. Okay, I'm wrong. But sweet coffee. It's good. I love that. We have been praying for you guys over the past couple of weeks. And one of the things that we've been praying for you guys about is Caleb. Can you share us just a little more on his health journey? And, yeah, just bring everyone up to speed and help us to know how to pray for you guys.
Yeah, it was around a year ago. Was it a year ago that they noticed something funky on an x-ray? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically he has what's called a hemivertebrae, which means when he was, you know, cooking, that one of his vertebrae did not fully develop. And if that's not addressed, that's the kind of thing that can cause pretty severe scoliosis later in life. So the short version is that he has to have a spine surgery where that's removed, and then he'll have to be in a brace for a while, I think, which is, it's going to be interesting because he's our most rambunctious kiddo. Yeah, he's about as much work as the other four put together. Yeah.
Got some amens from the front row.
Yeah, Abby said amen.
Some amens from the front row there. But, I mean, that's the short version. And he's, you know, the doctors in Kansas that we were working with in Wichita weren't too concerned. But, you know, anytime your kiddo goes under and something's cut out, you know, you're a little nervous. But, I don't know, anything you would add?
No, it was just a kindness of the Lord because we didn't know that he even had this issue. And it was just kind of found accidentally, really, and so it was just sweet to see the Lord's kindness and even bringing it to our attention. So,
yeah, yep, the Lord's been good every step of the way. Anytime our kids have had anything like that, this is probably the biggest one, but it's just the Lord's always proved himself faithful. Yeah,
yeah, we'll continue to pray for you guys with that and pray for little Caleb.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, what are other ways that we can pray for you guys? I know the transition probably is anybody uprooting and moving across country is going to be challenging. So can you let us know that how we can be praying for you, other obstacles, other challenges, ways that the Lord can provide?
I think the biggest one that's on my heart is for our kids, you know, just praying for our kids and that they would I mean, they miss their friends, but that they would find, you know, friends here who would just, they would grow up together, but more than just grow up together, grow up in Christ, and encourage them in Christ. They blessed with a lot of great friends at our home church who love the Lord and their families love the Lord, so it's real sweet. I think, honestly, the biggest prayer request I have personally is just faithfulness. I want to get to know all of you. It is my delight to be a pastor for you guys. Like, I honestly, it feels unreal that I get to be your pastor. So I just want to be faithful. You know, selfishly, a prayer for supernatural ability to remember everybody's names. You know, that we'd get a house that would be, you know, we want to have you all over. So this is an invite in advance. It may take several years, but once we get a house, we want to have you all over for dinner and just get to know everybody, someplace that we could use for ministry. I don't know. What would you say? Prayer request.
Yeah, I think the same. Yeah. It's a home. Yeah.
So.
Related to that, what's maybe one or a few things you guys are most excited about with college ministry? You know, what are you looking forward to in this next season?
Honestly, just excited about getting to know all of you. One thing that was really special about being, like when we'd have students in our home, really loved that. And I've just been thinking about Pilgrim's Progress a bit recently and how, like, Christian, the Lord had different people kind of share his path in different seasons. And I just think it's really sweet that the Lord is letting our paths converge for this season, and just excited to be able to see how we can, like, mutually encourage each other as we, like, get closer to seeing the Lord.
I mean, I love college age people, college students, people, even if you're not in college right now, you're taking a gap year or whatever. You guys are at the best, in many ways, the best season of life. You know, every when you walk with Christ, every season is the best. And I really mean that. That's not hyperbole. When you walk with Christ, every season is the best. So the longer you're with the Lord, it gets better and better. But in many ways, you guys have so many opportunities laid out ahead of you. You have a lot of freedom, discretionary time. I know you probably don't feel like you have discretionary income, but you know, wait till you have 3 kids, you have discretionary income. You have so much potential to live for Christ. You have so much potential to set a foundation that is surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is submitted to his word, that, I mean, if you start reading the word of God every day now, where you'll be in 15 years, I mean, you have no idea how off the charts it could be. And that's what's exciting me about being with you guys. I desperately want you guys to love the Lord, to love his word, to love his church, to love one another, to live for him. That's what, you know, if I can be used in any small way to promote that. I think of what Rick Holland did for me, and I know how you've been blessed by so many faithful college shepherds in your guys' experience as well. But I think back on Rick's preaching and how he helped me. I struggled a lot with doubt and assurance and the issue of grace versus works. I remember some sermons Rick preached, a two-parter called The Christian's Favorite Word on Grace from Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and just how it ministered to my heart and so many other ways. Like, I wouldn't be married to Anna if it wasn't for Rick's dating series. honestly, Rick's series helped me understand how much of an idiot I was. But if I could be used by the Lord in any way to be a blessing in a small way, setting you guys on a trajectory that is submitted to Christ and surrendered to his word and as living for him, that would be an incredible privilege.
You guys are going to be a blessing to us. You guys already are a blessing to us just being here. As we prepare to, in response, bless you guys, we just want to know, what are some things that you guys like to do, just the two of you, and then what are some things that you guys like to do as a family? And then maybe just some favorites, like, you know, favorite foods, favorite drinks. I just want to, you know, plant some seeds a little bit here.
So in Hutchinson, Kansas, a metropolis of 42,000 people, our favorite dinner place, date place, is this really fancy, elegant, exclusive restaurant called the Olive Garden. my favorite place to go by myself is Buffalo Wild Wings, but she's not so much Buffalo Wild Wings. But no, we have kids so often. What do we like to do by ourselves? We like watching movies. Yeah, we go on walks. We watch usually old British period dramas, or when she humors me, she'll watch baseball or football. What would you say?
What are your teams?
My teams. Oh, okay. So I did switch to being a Chiefs fan. I need to clarify. It was before Mahomes was a quarterback. So for NFL.
So not bandwagon.
I'm not bandwagon.
Reportedly.
Not bandwagon. I just got in on the ground level. Alex Smith was still the quarterback when we moved.
Okay, so you're a real fan.
Yes, Mr. Game Manager was still the quarterback when we moved to Kansas. So Chiefs for pro football, UCLA for college football. Absolutely UCLA.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Growing up, I mean, I don't know what it's like now. USC's kind of – Lincoln Riley has not panned out for USC, has he? Not what they thought he was going to be. But growing up, it was always – if you rooted for UCLA, all the people who rooted for USC made fun of you. So UCLA for college football, Chiefs for pro football, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Wait, there's an Angels fan? All right. Sweet.
He's literally wearing an Angels hat right now.
Yeah, okay, let's hang out. All right.
It's good.
Yeah, there is an Angel. See, I told you there's more than just me. Yeah.
We'll pray for you and Mike Trout to not get injured.
Yes. Oh, Mike Trout. You feel sad for Mike Trout. Anyway, so yeah. So those are my teams. Yeah.
So Anna bears with that, and we'll pretend to be interested sometimes. Yeah.
She does. She does. Joe, though, we've really gotten into watching football as a family. Yeah, that's been, I mean, honestly, it's been a good time to be a Chiefs fan. It really has.
Yeah.
I keep telling my son, like, it's not always going to be like this. Eventually, Mahomes will retire.
Love that. I have a little bit of an invasive question. You guys mentioned looking for a home. Where are you guys going to live? We're talking about South Central, next to Angel Stadium. Like, where are you guys looking?
Get people
excited about where they're going to go visit you guys.
Yeah. Well, my folks live in Santa Clarita, so we've been largely looking at Santa Clarita. Also, the kids are going to be in a homeschool co-op that meets at Grace Baptist. So we've been and we lived in Newhall when we were here, so we're familiar with Santa Clarita. So that's kind of where we're looking right now. But if somebody in Simi were like, "Here's a free home," So yeah, yep.
Love it. We're excited for you, and you absolutely need to let us know to make an announcement when you figure out your home so that we can have the biggest moving party ever.
And, well, that'd be awesome.
And move in like 5 minutes with everyone helping. It's going to be great.
That'd be awesome.
So we're excited for that. We're praying for that as well, for sure. Maybe just one last question. Steve, you've maybe said this already, but what are you going to preach first?
Yeah.
Where are we going?
And I'm so thankful for all the guys, I mean, you guys and Riley and Callum and others who filled the pulpit, Josh. But I'm really thankful for Abner and how he's preached through Acts. And, you know, I thought about doing something new, but the more I thought about what I would like to see in Crossroads, like, my desire is that this gym be packed full of young people who know who they are in Christ, who know the gospel, the whole gospel, who are courageous to preach the gospel. So you're passionate about evangelism, but you're also passionate about the local church. And I can't think of a better book to tackle all of that. Missions, evangelism, ecclesiology, the message of repentance and faith in Jesus, then continue in the book of Acts. So it's my joy. I mean, I'm not Abner, so please, you know, I think I told somebody that I was thinking about going in Acts, and they're like, "You realize you're following Abner, right?" I was like, "I understand." the sooner you learn that I have feet of clay, the better. But I'm just excited to pick up right where Abner's left off in Acts, and we'll be in that however long as the Lord allows. But I mean, even thinking about Acts 15 and the fact that, you know, justification is by faith, not by works. That it is a dark world out there, and they need to know that message. And they don't need just one preacher preaching that message. They need a gym full of college students taking that message to campuses and workplaces and dorms all over LA, telling people that there is forgiveness and hope in Jesus Christ. So that's why Acts, we're going to just keep going in Acts. Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. We're looking forward to it a ton.
Yeah.
Well, Steve and Anna, we are so excited to have you guys here. And I know that it probably, you hear that probably hopefully enough that you think, oh, they're just saying it because they're being nice. But truly and genuinely, I mean, an example would be that every time we mention that you guys are coming and when that's going to be, and it was up until now, the future, we keep mentioning it. Every time the room would erupt in applause, whether it was here or at UCLA. And so we are so genuinely excited for not just a shepherd to be with us, but for you two to be here to do ministry here. So we are thankful to the Lord and just so, so excited for this next season.
Thanks.
Let's do this. Let's invite Abner, if you could come on up. We're going to have Abner pray for the Crawfords. And then we are going to close with a song at the end. But I would invite you all to bombard the Crawfords right after we let out and just welcome them. Let them go to lunch at some point. But if y'all could get all your membership forms that need to be signed and beeline to Steve. I know some of you guys out there. And as well, just welcome them and love on them today. But guys, in this next season, let's give them a round of applause. Let's welcome the Crawfords.
Good to see you all again. Just jumped out of Sojourners to come back over. Couldn't stay away. You know, you guys are too good, and it is so good to see both of you. This is a special couple, really, really special. I don't want to belabor the point, but I was with Stephen Ibeck, so if he had fibbed about Anna, you know, I would have called him on it. But and I don't know if Anna ever told you the story, but I was with a later year, and a guy named Buck Sinnott, I don't know if you remember that name, and Katie Rogers, they were out there, some other people, and they were saying, oh yeah, Anna's thinking about dating this guy, and they were upset, and I was like, why are you upset? Like, if it's good, it could be good. And they're like, we don't know who this guy is. His name is Steve Crawford. Do you know Steve Abner? Is he good? Like, because she's good, and if he's not good, I'm gonna get on. Back then the internet was just invented, so it's very difficult to communicate. They were going to send pigeons and things like that across the ocean from Israel to the United States. And I was like, no, Steve's good. They're like, Abner, you say everything is good. Like, you say the food on the Moshav is good. Like, what do you mean by Steve is good? I was like, no, he's like, good, good. You know, like, good, good, good. You know, no, this is an amazing couple. And I hope that today you've not only just been able to get to know them a little bit through the Q&A, but you've learned some really important lessons too, just lessons of God's faithfulness, lessons like every season of your life with Christ is the best season. That's rich. That's rich. And just to know that God does take care of his own, no matter where they go, no matter what trials come up, there's a lot to learn, and I hope the Lord has used this time to impress that into your heart. But most of all, like Matt concluded by saying, I hope that this time just facilitates you guys coming together. Like Steve said, you all together can be a very powerful force used by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I am praying that that is exactly what the Lord does right here. So let's pray together. Our God and Father, thank you for what you are doing in your church. You build the church. This is your institution for this time. It is amazing. It is eternal. It is the place that makes history. And we do give you all the thanks for how you orchestrate ministry and how you orchestrate the work of service for your Son, who is our Savior. Thank you for bringing us the Crawford family. Thank you for bringing them back to Grace Community and back to Crossroads. And we do ask that in the midst of change, that you would shepherd this shepherd, that you would strengthen them, provide housing, facilitate logistics, allow friends to be made quickly, and may this time, as we look back on it, be one of the sweetest moments, knowing that our walk with you is always sweet, for you are a God who knows what is for our good.
and you keep every single promise. And so be with them. Make this moment, make these times just rich and fruitful and profitable in ministry. And may this fellowship group particularly be one that overabundantly magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.